And a very famous text here in Mark chapter 12 I want to read first. And I want to speak again about order today. It says in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. I want to speak this morning on the subject of getting love in order. Getting love in order. This is probably the most important subject that I will speak on this year, because if we don't have this in order, the Bible says we might as well not do anything. Getting love in order. Jesus complimented this scribe in verse 34 by saying to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He's saying, you almost have it down. This man reiterated what Christ said in his answer, and he said, you know, Master, you're right. To love God with all the heart, verse 33, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all religion, ritual, burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's more important that we love. And I want you to notice the order of love. Now, what happens when love is out of order? I'd like you to keep your place here and turn to 2 Timothy in chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Some of the things that I say this morning, actually, many of you are going to struggle with. Some of you are going to do nothing with it. Even though I'm going to show you from the Scripture, some of you will leave the church and say, that is not right. What are you saying? That's not right. But I'm going to try to give it to you in order today from the Bible. But before I do, I want to show you what happens when love is out of order. It says in 2 Timothy 3, this know also, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, since Christ ascended into heaven, it has been the last days. But I think what Paul is writing about here is the last of the last days. He said, just before Jesus Christ is about ready to come again for the second time, it's going to be very perilous. People are going to be killing each other in malls. People are going to be killing each other in plazas. People are going to be killing each other in college campuses. People are going to be killing each other in Amish schools. People are going to be killing each other in Christian schools and Christian colleges and missionary camps. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and people blowing themselves up and all kinds of crazy weather and so on. It's going to be perilous in the last days. It's going to be perilous. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Notice the disorder about love in the last days. They'll be lovers of their own selves. We've already read what the greatest commandment is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, the understanding, with all your soul, with all your strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. That's the divine order of love. But in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Notice, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Notice the disorder of love in the last days. They're putting pleasure before God. Now, what is the result of this? Chaos. Divorce. Murders. Many of you have been through the pain of divorce. You could tell me a thing or two. You know how much it hurts. Why? Because someone got their love out of order. Look what is happening now with boys and girls who don't have parents to love them in some cases. And they grow up sometimes becoming criminals just trying to get attention. Because men will be lovers of their own selves, because men will love pleasure more than God in the last days, we're going to have chaos in society when love gets out of order. That's what you have when love gets out of order. You have wars, you have murders, you have violence, you have abuse, all kinds of societal maladies happen when love gets out of order. We need to get love in order, and God has made it clear what the order of love is. And men should not be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They should not love their own selves, but rather crucify self, die to self, and live for others. But this is what the last day is going to be. But you know something? Just because this is prophecy doesn't mean we have to be a part of it. We can be different. We can get our love in order. So I want to say some things now about love. I want to give you four orders of love right here. And some of you aren't going to believe this. Some of you are going to think, boy, what he is saying is off the mark today, and you're not going to do a thing about it nor accept it. But I'm going to give it to you like the Bible says. Number one, our first order of love is toward God. Number one, our first order of love is toward God. Now, I have to preach on love this morning because it's in the Bible, but I sure struggle with this subject myself sometimes. I sure am preaching to myself. But I wonder sometimes if there has ever really, really, really been one day in my life where I could honestly say I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, my thought life, my understanding, and with all my strength. I wonder sometimes if there's ever really been one day in Art Cole's life of almost 51 years where I could honestly say I kept that commandment for one day. Sorry for being transparent today, but I need your prayers. How about you? Can you say, you know, that's the description of me. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, the whole spiritual part of my being, all my mind. Every thought I have every day shows how much I love God, and I've brought into captivity my thoughts to Him. And I think, like He said, I take those themes of grace that He told me in the Word. If something is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, those are the things that I think on. I don't think about anything else ever. I wonder if we can say that. I wonder if we can say, I love God with all my strength. Man, by the end of the day, I am worn out because of the love I've tried to show God this day in doing His work. Yet this is the first commandment. Jesus said to a church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and verse number 4, He says, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. And He went on to threaten that church by saying, you know, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I will close down your church if you do not repent in this matter and get back to putting me as the first love of your church. That's serious business. Now, what I'm trying to say right here today is that if we don't get this number one wrong, a lot of things in our life are going to go wrong. A lot of things are going to become disruptive. A lot of things in our life are not going to work if we don't put God first in our love. The first order of love is toward God. And that's what the Bible says. That's not necessarily what I live. It's something I'm trying to strive for. I want people to know my greatest love is God. Is your greatest love God? Is your first love God? That's the first order of love. Now, this is where it gets difficult. Number two. The second order of love is toward your neighbors. The second law, let me read it to you. Jesus said here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's second. That's before your family. That's before your marriage. He didn't make a mistake here. He makes no mistake. Jesus said our greatest love in divine order is toward God first, toward your neighbor second. Wow. I got a feeling our society is falling apart because of this. A lack of obeying the second commandment. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Now one man, while you turn to Luke chapter number 10, one man finally had the courage to say, Lord, who's my neighbor? And the Lord answered this way in Luke chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 29. It said, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a priest, certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So that means that people who are just legalists, they're not going to help anybody. They don't care about anybody. They're just going to pass by. And people who are religionists, they're not going to help anybody. They're just going to pass by on the other side. They might look on him and then pass by. And there's a lot of legalists nowadays that just go through a bunch of legal things they're hoping to justify themselves before God by doing. They don't help anyone. There's a lot of religionists today, like the priest, the Levite, who just comes to the place, looks on him, and passes by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So in verses 31 and verses 32, we see the law. In verse 33, we see love. He saw this man wounded, beaten up, laying alongside the road, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, that's 2 days' wages, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. And so we have the divine definition of what a neighbor is. And a neighbor is anybody that we cross paths with in our life who needs help. That our eyes should be so wide open that no matter where we are and we cross paths with somebody that needs help, we will help them and go the extra mile to meet the need of that person. This is our neighbor. Now, yes, the biblical definition of neighbor is also concerning those that live around us. And just to see how far society has gone from God's divine order of love, there are many today that don't even know what their neighbor's names are. Don't even have their names on a prayer list and are praying for them. Don't try to do things for their neighbors that maybe they can't do for themselves. Don't try to be friendly, and don't try to show them the love of Christ, and so on and so forth. There's very few people that are actually trying to make an impact right on the road they live on. And yet this is the second greatest commandment. This is the second greatest commandment. Now notice Jesus did not say family is first. Jesus did not say family is second. That's out of order. Jesus did not say family was third. What a blow to American doctrine. But I really think America is coming apart at the seams because we don't have our love in order. Society is coming apart at the seams because we don't have our love in order. God's divine order. Our third order of love is towards God's family. Our third order of love is towards God's family. If you're back in Mark, turn over to chapter number 8. Mark 8 and verse number 35 says this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Jesus is saying we ought to lose our life for Christ's sake and for the gospel's. Getting the message of salvation out to the lost. Then he enhances this in Mark chapter 10, if you'll turn there. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. He says this, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, see where he mentions family here? Doesn't sound like it's first, second, or third, does it? But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. The Lord is saying here that our concern, our love for the brethren, our love for the lost should be so great that he says, I will reward you if you leave your house, leave your brethren, leave your sisters, leave your father, leave your mother, leave your wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. Now, I know we can't justify that in our doctrine, but it's in the Bible. Look at chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. Jesus is supposed to be, of course, the example in everything we do. Would you agree with that statement? Jesus is our Lord and our God and our example, and that we are supposed to study not only his teachings, but also his action, his example. We are supposed to exemplify that, emulate that in our lives. Would you agree with that? That we were saved to become Christ-like. Now notice this church service one day, Mark chapter 3. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him. Now the setting is Jesus is inside of a house that is just packed to the walls. They're packed like sardines inside of this house while Jesus is preaching and ministering inside of a house in Capernaum. That's the story. Jesus and his brethren decided not to go to church that day. But during the church service, they show up and they get a messenger to go inside. Verse 32, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother? And who is my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. What the Bible says. His spiritual family was before his physical family. The Bible says. Even when he was young, 12 years of age once, he went down to Jerusalem, as they did for the Passover. There's a large company of his relatives there. And Jesus went down to Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph began to make their journey back to Nazareth. And they realized Jesus wasn't with them. 12 years of age. And they, it says, turned back and sought him sorrowing. He caused his father, stepfather, sorrow. He caused his mother sorrow. They couldn't find him for 3 days. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, can you imagine losing one of your children for 3 days? They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors and hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, he wasn't talking back to his mom and dad. He was just showing what he really loved. He was showing the priorities in his life at 12 years of age. It says he went back to them, with them to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Look, Jesus taught by his example and taught by his word that we ought to put him before our families. That we ought to put him before our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and wives and so on and so forth. And he not only taught it, he showed the example. Church that day, your mom and brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. Who's my mother and brother? It says his brothers didn't believe on him until after the resurrection. It says, my brothers don't believe on me. I'm not going to hang around with a bunch of unbelievers. I'm not going to put them before God. I'm not going to put them before God's work in my life. I'm not going to put my mother before God's work in my life. There's no way my mother's going to control me, keep me from doing God's will. It's not going to happen. These are for us to study. Jesus gave a new command just before he was crucified. The night before his crucifixion, he said these words over in John chapter number 13, and verse 34. While they were in the upper room, Judas had left already. He said to his apostles, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It was a new commandment. It was issued the night of his betrayal. It was never said in the first 3 years of his public ministry. But he said, listen, from now on, I want you to love the brethren as I've loved them. And now that commandment would be repeated 12 more times between John 13, 34 and the end of the Bible. It's one of the most repeated commandments in the New Testament. Love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren, love the church. Love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. John would go on to say in 1 John chapter 2, we should be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's quite different in contrast, isn't it, to what we just read about families? We should be willing to walk away from them. They don't want to serve the Lord. But it says we should be able to lay down our lives for the brethren. That love isn't preached about much. We have a big emphasis, and I believe it has detrimentally affected the church and society. Family first. Family first. Family first. What has it led to? It's led to chaos. It's led to divorce. It's led to separations. Family first. Why? Because it's out of God's divine order, and anything you get out of God's order is going to be messed up in no time. The Apostle Peter, who knew a lot about Jesus and went around with him for years, said these words in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 22. He said this, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. In Hebrews 13:1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Jesus said, love the brethren as I have loved you. And what kind of a love did Jesus have for the brethren? In John 13 and verse number 1, it says this, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. Having loved his own, that is the believers that were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved Peter to the end. He loved John to the end. He loved those that forsook him and fled right to the end. You know, too many people desert the church nowadays. They have a take it or leave it attitude towards the family of God. Or they bounce around too much. Or they don't get involved. Or they think they're too good to get involved. Jesus wasn't. Jesus loved the brethren. He said, this is my family right here. Those that hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the ones Jesus loved. Now, aren't we supposed to love our family? Yes, that's in the Bible. It says in Colossians 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We're supposed to love our wives and not be bitter against them. I don't know why any wife would, or any man would get bitter against his wife, but you shouldn't. Don't be bitter against your wife. You got to grow old with each other, grow old gracefully. Amen? Well, she's not as cute as she used to be. You ever hear that one? Well, you're not as cute as you used to be either, you know? Did you ever think of that, men? Man, I tell you. We had a funeral here Wednesday. And I was, a couple people were here. The funeral director was standing back there, and I walked in this door. He hadn't seen me in years. First thing out of his mouth was, man, have you gotten gray? First thing out of his mouth. Thanks, Jay. We had some talk. Wow, did you get gray? My wife says I'm looking more distinguished as I get older. That's code words for you're not as cute as you used to be. That's what that is. That's what that means. I was born in 57. I wasn't born yesterday. You know, your wife, she's had 2, 3, 4, or 5 kids or whatever. What do you expect? Man, you're not so great either. Don't be bitter at your wife. Just keep the tabulation going of how much she does for you. And just thank God for her. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5 says, wives, love your husbands, love your children. The Bible teaches love for family. It teaches love for family. It really does. I'm not against that. But I'm thinking about writing a booklet. And I'm going to have this on the front cover. Family first. And then I'm going to put a big red circle around the word first with a big red line through it. And then underneath in big bold letters, I'm going to put the word fourth. Family fourth. And that book will do a whole lot more for society than this idea of family first. Well, Sunday's family day, so we don't go to church together. You're going to destroy your family. Because it's out of God's order and he'll fight against it. God has an order. You see, if you'll put God first, if you put God first in your life, he'll fill you with love. And everybody around you will be blessed by the overflow. That's how God wants to do it, right there. When we put God first, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And everybody else is just blessed by the overflow. Your wife gets more love than she's ever gotten. Your husband gets more love than he's ever gotten. There is plug down there. Stay away from that. She's done that side. Do you understand that? Don't ever forget that. And that's why there's so little love in our society today. There's so few wives putting God first. There's so few husbands. There's so few fathers. There's so few mothers putting God first. And then as they put God first, God just pours himself into that person. And God is love, and God fills that person with a love they've never had before, and everybody around them, their neighbors, their church, their wives, their children, husbands, those they work, just the overflow. Just the overflow of the love blesses them. But we're told family first. Family first. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. The subject of love is so out of order nowadays. In fact, I almost hesitate ever showing anybody this verse. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14, because there's some people who are so twisted in their heads, they can't read a verse like this. They do weird things. But I'm going to read you what Jesus said once. He said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, I've tried everything I can to change that word in my mind, in my doctrine, but I can't. Jesus said what he meant and meant what he said. And that right there shows you the order of love. That compared to God and compared to our love for our neighbors and the work that God has for us to do among us, he used the word hate, brethren. It's right in the Bible. Now, I know there's always some twisted minds that use this and do strange things. I'm going to tell you what I think it means. I believe it means this, that if my dad were to call me today and say, "Son, I want you to leave the church and I want you to come and help me work in the business," that I would not even have to think for a second about that decision because of my love priorities. And I'd have to say, "Dad, I love you, but I'm sorry. I love God more. And I've got to serve God. And no matter how my dad takes that, I've got to say, I got to love God. I've got to serve God more." My wife says, "It's either God or me," I've got to say, "Honey, I love you. I'm gonna cry a million tears over this. But it's God. It's God." My kids say, "Dad, we're tired of this. We're not coming to church anymore. We tried this lifestyle. We're sick of it. We're not going to live it anymore." And I'd probably cry a million tears and say, "Kids, I love you. I really do. But I choose God. And I'm going to keep serving the Lord, trying to help my neighbors come to know Christ as their Savior." Some relative of mine said, "Can you leave your church this Sunday and come and witness our baby's christening?" I'm going to have to say, "No, I'm sorry. I love God. And God's Word speaks nothing about baptizing babies. I don't believe that's doctrinally accurate. I'm sorry. I cannot be a part of that. I cannot, by my presence, justify that. That's not right. I'm sorry. I love you. I don't mean to offend you, but I don't want to be there and put my stamp of approval on that kind of practice. It's not right." If the boss says, "Hey, why don't we go out for a couple drinks at lunch?" The person who has their love in order will have to say, "You know, sir, I'd be glad to go out to lunch with you anytime. I said, I don't drink alcohol. I'm not any better than you. I'm not any better than anyone else on earth. I just one day gave my life to Jesus Christ. I've accepted the Lord as his Savior, my Savior, and he's come into my life. He saved me and changed me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but I believe that would grieve my God if I drank alcohol. And I'm sorry, sir, I thank you for the invitation, but I can't make it." See, this kind of stuff happens in all of us. And I think a lot of things today are going wrong in many lives because their love is out of order and God doesn't like it. God doesn't like this country that has become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He doesn't like it at all. In Men shall be lovers of their own selves. God doesn't like that at all. He wants us to crucify self. Live for the Lord. I believe the Bible teaches our first love should be toward God. Our second love, I know most of you are going to go from here and say, no, that's not true. That can't possibly be true. But our second love should be towards our neighbors. Pastor, you mean before our family? Yes, before our family. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our third love should be towards our church, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The wife says, I don't want to come back tonight on Sunday night. Well, then, honey, you stay home. I'm going to church. And then our biological family's fourth. Yeah, we're supposed to love them, and I've tried to set an example in that, but there may come a day, I hope not. There may come a day when my love's tested. But your love's tested, and we're going to have to turn our back on our own son, our own daughter, maybe our own wife. Maybe some of you wives are going to have husbands go off into sin. You're going to have to say, I'm sticking with God. I'm sticking with God. I'm still going to try to help my neighbors. I'm not going to sulk and whine the rest of my life. I'm going to do something for God and something for this world. And help my neighbors. And I'm going to love God's church. And my brethren. And if somebody asks me who, I'm going to tell them, who's my mother? Who's my brother? These that do the will of God. Those that are serving the Lord. That's the order of love. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now for you to help us. Oh God, I know that we have been indoctrinated by society, by schools, even by churches, that families first, focus on the family. And Lord, all it has led to is complete chaos in our country. And our society unraveling and coming apart at the seams because you're not happy. And oh God, if we'll put you first, you so fill us with love that everybody around us will be blessed from the overflow. We'll be better husbands. We'll be better fathers. We'll be better wives. We'll be better mothers. We'll be better church members. We'll be better neighbors. If we'll put you first, God help us. Our love is so out of order in America today, it's not funny, Lord. Have mercy on us, especially when your word is so clear about this. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. You're not trying to hurt us. You're trying to save us. By telling us the order of love. Help us, Father, now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought an appropriate song to